The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is by Walter Pendleton. Visit us on the website at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that is www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
My text for this morning's message is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'll read verses 1 through 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1 begins this way. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. In this passage, of course, there are many things here, but one thing stands out quite clear in what the Apostle Paul says here. Paul warns of another Jesus. Paul warns of another spirit. And Paul warns of another gospel. Do not belittle such a warning as this. Men often seem to take so lightly in our day, no matter what a person believes, as long as they use Bible language, that everything's okay. But the Apostle Paul makes it quite clear. Another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. This is not Paul's take on the subject. This is not just Paul's opinion or Paul's idea. This is the testimony of all the Scripture. And as a matter of fact, let me give you four other witnesses, which will make a total of five. I'll give you four other witnesses that witnessed to this very same warning, this very same thing. The law says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. So we're going to see five total here. So Paul warns of another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. But hear what the Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 4. The Apostle John put it this way. He said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth," not just that says it, "but every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They," that is these false prophets, these lying spirits, this spirit of Antichrist, "they are of the world," he says. "Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So there is John's testimony. Paul warns of another spirit, another Jesus, another gospel. And the Apostle John warned of this Antichrist spirit that will come denying the truth of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the messenger that a person listens to, the message a person heeds, proves where a person's allegiance lies. Whatever you listen to, the person that you rejoice in, and their message, what they preach, that shows where your allegiance is. And that's exactly what John is saying in 1 John chapter 4. People whose allegiance is to the lie of the spirit of Antichrist, they're not of God. But those who believe the truth of the scripture concerning the Christ and the Spirit and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are of God. And the people who are of God, they hear that. You see, the message of Antichrist is now in the midst of the world, and it is of the world, and the world heeds that message, and it lies within that message, and the world believes this message even to its own damnation. So there's not only Paul warning of another spirit, another Jesus, another gospel, but even the Apostle John is warning about this other spirit that men would come with, preaching lies concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ. But not only that, hear what the Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2. The Apostle Peter said these words, 2 Peter chapter 2, "But there are false prophets also among But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily," or that is in a private way, in a sly manner, "who privily shall bring in damnable heresies." Do you hear that? Damnable heresies, "even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." And many, do you see? And many, the same thing John said over, many false prophets are gone out into the world, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So there we have Paul's warning. We also have John's warning. And we also have Peter's warning. But now listen to another. Here is Jude himself, and here is what Jude writes in that very short letter that Jude wrote. Listen to what Jude wrote, verse 1 through 4. He says these words, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." For, why is it that we must earnestly contend, Jude? Here's what he said, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." So there we have Paul giving warning. There we have John giving warning. There we have Peter giving warning. And does anyone think that Peter was referring to just another way of seeing things? These, "As there were false prophets among the people, there shall also be false teachers among you who shall make merchandise of men's souls." Do you think Peter's talking about this is just another way of seeing things? Or this is just a different Christian opinion? You see, when it comes to the person and work of Jesus Christ, when it comes to the gospel, there is but one way, one truth. And that truth determines all that's there. Anyone who does not hold to the truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ is a false teacher, a false prophet of the spirit of Antichrist. Peter's warning of heeding such monstrosities extends even to those who've professed the truth of Jesus Christ. And you can go on and read that in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Where he basically says that even though a person may have professed faith in Jesus Christ, but if they listen to these men and they're overcome by these men and they turn back, then it's better for them not to have known the way of truth than after they've known the way of truth to have turned from the holy commandment delivered unto them. And then, of course, we read Jude's warning. Jude himself lets us know that God's foreordination of the very condemnation of heretics and apostates notwithstanding, their error and their monstrosities are dangerous and damning nonetheless. You see, God's absolute sovereignty over all things, that's all things, God's absolute sovereignty over all things excuses no man of accountability or responsibility before God. So therefore we have, so far, we have Paul's warning, we have John's warning, we have Peter's warning, we even have Jude's warning. But even on top of all that, we also have the warning of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Listen to what our Lord Jesus Christ said. It's recorded by Matthew in Matthew chapter 24. And listen to what he says in about three verses here. Listen to verse 23 of Matthew 24. This is Christ speaking. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there is Christ, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs. Do you see it? For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. Do you see that? And shall show great signs and wonders. People often today teach and preach and uphold this idea that if they see some miracle or sign that proves that what they see is of God, our Lord made it clear that's not so. He says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. You see, religious promises, even wonders and signs, even religious promises and religious quotes, even with Bible overtones, does not prove that the promise is from God. So there we have, without question, five irrefutable witnesses that there is another Jesus, there is another Spirit, and there is another gospel. As a matter of fact, let me give you one more statement by the Apostle Paul, and it's quite profound and quite to the point. Listen to one more warning by the Apostle Paul concerning this matter of another Jesus, another Spirit, another gospel. Listen to what Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, writing to the Galatians. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. Notice how he qualifies it now. Unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert, do you see it? And would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Do you read that? Do you hear what the Apostle Paul said? But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. So we see there is but one Spirit of truth, and that is God the Holy Spirit. There is but one Christ Jesus the Lord. That's the God-man. That is God Almighty, the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth, God manifest in the flesh. There's but one Spirit of truth. There's but one Christ Jesus, the Lord. And there is but one gospel. And that is the gospel of free reigning grace. That's right, I said free reigning grace. Men often talk about the gospel of love or the gospel of God's love. But the gospel is a message about Jesus Christ and his free reigning grace. That's right, I said free grace. Listen to Paul in Romans chapter 3. Listen to what Paul says. And he begins here by speaking about the law in verse 19 of Romans 3. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's the law's purpose. That's the reason for the law. The law is there to manifest to men and women our utter corruption, our utter depravity, and our total depravity. But then Paul goes on in verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then listen, here's the phrase, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So I said that the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, is that justification is free and that grace reigns, being justified freely by his grace. And Paul goes on in Romans chapter 5 and says that this very grace reigns. Listen to what he says. Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. He's talking about Adam there. For by one man, listen, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. One man's, one disobedience made the many sinners. So by the obedience of one, do you see it? So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, now listen to it, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So again I say, there is but one Spirit of truth, and it is God the Holy Spirit. There is but one Christ Jesus the Lord, and that is the God-man, God Almighty, the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth, God manifest in the flesh. And there is but one gospel, that is the gospel of free, reigning grace. You see, grace is free, and grace reigns. And this is what the Scripture teaches. And any man who teaches anything less than that is of that other Jesus, is of that other spirit, and it is that other gospel which Paul calls a perversion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, hear my words this morning. If you have ears to hear, oh, that God may give it to you. Oh, that God may give you ears to hear even right now at this moment. Listen to what I say. Justification's ground is gracious blood redemption, not faith. Do you hear what I said? I said, justification's ground is gracious blood redemption, not faith. Faith is not a means to grace. Grace gives faith. The Apostle Paul is clear. Ephesians chapter 2, he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. That is, the faith, the grace, or the salvation. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So again I say, justification's ground is gracious blood redemption, not faith. Faith is not a means to grace. Grace is the means to faith. Grace gives faith. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul goes on in Galatians 5 to clearly state that faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Also this, not only is justification's grounds the gracious blood redemption of Jesus Christ and not faith, and not only is faith not a means to grace, but rather grace is the means to faith, but also this, the obedience of Christ makes righteous. Faith brings imputed righteousness, and those two things are different. Do you hear what I said? I said the obedience of Christ makes righteous. Faith brings imputed righteousness. The law of God, that glorious condemnation of death, the law shows sins abounding. Grace abounds over sin by the righteous obedience of Christ. Do you hear what I say? I said, the law shows sins abounding, but nevertheless, grace abounds over sin, not by us, but by the righteous obedience of Christ. Faith does not make that so. Faith believes it to be so. And yet, this is what all of modern day so-called Christianity. It is pseudo-Christianity. They always try to say that the person and the work of Jesus Christ has efficacy only through your faith. And that is another Jesus. That is another spirit. That is another gospel. Faith does not make efficacious who Christ is and what Christ done. Who Christ is and what Christ done makes faith of value. It comes from God because of these things. You see, blood redemption justified in God's sight. Faith justifies the believer in their own conscience. Again, I say, blood redemption, the blood of Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ did at Calvary, that very blood redemption by Christ, blood redemption by Christ justified in God's sight. We are justified by his blood, the scripture says. That comes first. That is the grounds. Blood redemption by Christ guarantees this, that faith is to be given to all of the blood redeemed. Anything less than that is another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. Now listen to me again. I will say it one more time. Oh, that God may give you ears to hear. Justification's grounds is gracious blood redemption, not faith. Faith is not a means to grace. Grace is the means to faith. The obedience of Christ makes righteous. Faith brings imputed righteousness. The law shows sins abounding. Grace abounds over sin by the righteous obedience of Christ. Faith does not make that so. Faith believes that it is so. Blood redemption justified in God's sight. Faith justifies the believer in their conscience. Blood redemption by Christ guarantees faith will be given to all of the blood redeemed. And I say unto every person under the sound of my voice this morning, You heed anything less than that. You heed anything less than that. You are heeding another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. Heed anything less than that, and condemnation will be your lot. Christ himself declared that he would lay down his life for the sheep. These were his own words. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ taught, and he taught it clearly and plainly and up front. Christ said that I lay down the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And we find that recorded clearly by John in John chapter 10, verses 11 and verse 15. Christ made it clear, I lay down my life for the sheep. And in that same passage, in that same account, John also records that Christ also clearly declared that some people that they were not of his sheep. And he even went so far as to say unto them, and ye believe not because you're not of my sheep. Now I've heard men to switch that around and say that men are not sheep because they don't believe. That is another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. And it is condemning to the souls of men. Jesus Christ laid down his life for the sheep. He clearly declared to some people that they were not of his sheep, and that's why they did not believe. Thus, Christ did not lay down his life for those people. They weren't his sheep. A Jesus who died for all. Listen to me now. A Jesus who died for all without exception is another Jesus. That's exactly what I said. A Jesus who died for the sins, a Jesus who was made sin, for all without exception, is another Jesus. You heed that Jesus, and condemnation will be your lot. You see, the death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ actually accomplished something. And I want you, may it be that you listen to these words. Don't tune me out now. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote. Romans 5, for when we, writing to believers here, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now here's the first thing. Can you take your place with the ungodly? Or do you think yourself a pretty good person? If you're a pretty good person, Christ didn't even die for pretty good people. He died for who? The ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than. All right, now listen, see, much more than that. Paul say, take note of this even more. Much more than. Being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, now he's going to even explain more, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Do you see? Paul says that everyone for whom Christ died, he reconciled. And everyone who is reconciled, they shall be saved. This is what Paul said is the true gospel. This is the truth being sounded forth by the Spirit of God. And this is that Jesus, that God-man, God manifest in the flesh, and this is what he accomplished. Christ's death and resurrection was not an attempt. This is the Christ of God. Believe him, rest in him, bow to him, flee to him, and run to him. And only in him can you find redemption for your weary soul.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Come hear Christ preached.